Is awake? Do you need to move around anywhere? You need a different seat? Do you not like the person you're next to? What's going on? Yeah, everybody's good. All right. Well, thank you for that prayer. And we do pray that God moves in a mighty way. Let me just keep praying, Lord. You are so good. You are so good. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your grace. We thank you for your power and your presence among us. I know we have a word to deal with today, and I pray that you help me to really make it clear. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Still got that ring, so hello, hello, hello. Can you guys hear that ringing? Ooh. Yeah, that's not the ringing I'm talking about. There we go. That's perfect. That's nice. No, because I might, you know me. I might walk away. All right, I just muted my lapel mic. Check, check, check. As you may have noticed, Dennis and Carol are not here. Dennis is down in Chico visiting his family and his kids. And you guys know Dennis. He's had his passion, his heart to be down in Chico for a long time. For a long time, but primarily this last year has just been pulling on his heart. He feels like the Lord's telling him, get down there now. His kids are down there, and he's had three separate kids individually on their own say, Dad, we need you home, and we need to reconnect. You ever done that, dads, where something happened in life and you disconnected with your kids, and you knew if you were there at certain times, they would have made different choices and life would have come out different? Well, that's how Dennis feels, and he just feels like right now God's calling him to reconnect with those kids. So he's been moving that direction. And you know, Carol, she's passionate about this church. She's passionate about what God has her doing. Her mom's here, and she was not doing well in the hospital just a short time ago. And so she's like all here. Dennis is all there. And now God has just opened her heart to say, yeah, let's do this. Let's go. Let's do this thing. So they got their house on the market. There's a real estate sign in the middle of their yard. And they're all go. They're selling their stuff. And they're looking. Now they're pulling in the same harness. It's a good thing. And so that's good, right? But you don't realize how much weight people have been pulling until they vanish. And that's why we're having struggle with the slides and the sound and all that. Dennis was running all of that stuff. All the bulletins was Carol, 100%, doing wonderful stuff there. So we're going to have to pick some slack. If you've got some skills in those areas, let's talk. Now, we're going through a transition as a church body. And so you don't know that because you've never been here before, right? And Hulda, she's a visitor today. Don't look at her. Don't embarrass her. Stop looking at... Sorry, Hulda. This is an unruly bunch. She's easy to talk to. She's fun. But God's working in this body. And you're going to watch as people try to figure out who I am, whether I work for them, whether I fit, and how they like my personality or not. So it's right now, let's see who this guy is. Let's see if he knows the word. Let's see if he's easy to talk to or whatever. You know how, you know what you're doing. And we all do it. So we got to get to know each other. So I'm the new kid on the block. I'm new to this family, but I feel like I've been here forever. I love you guys. I just feel like there's a warmth and a reality and a connection that's just profound and real. That's how I feel. You're probably going, I don't know what you're feeling, but it ain't happening here. But, you know, I really do. I love this body. And I use different language. Like, I don't call, hey, let's go to church, or let's go down to the church and clean. I call it the church building. You're the church. This is the building. This is the place where we meet. And I'm pretty consistent on that language, just so we get it through our mind that this ain't nothing. This is a gift God has given us. It's a tool. We can use it. If someday they lock us out of here or it burns down, that's God's business. You know, I thank him for all the stuff he's given us. You know, this beautiful, incredible piano. If you're a piano player, you know what I'm talking about. We've got another beautiful piano there, a little older. Fantastic if you know of anybody that is thinking of a grand piano in their living room, that's available. So that's being sold, and God has gifted us with this. Anybody know the piano? This is not an ordinary piano. This is an incredible piano. Great tone, great feel. Thank you, Lord. That's awesome. So, and Julie knows how cool it is, right? But that's just a gift. It's just a tool, whether we have that or don't have it. We have sound systems and stuff like that. Wonderful, great tools. That doesn't define us, you guys. What defines us is our relationships. That's it. Our relationship with Christ and our relationship with each other. That's what defines us. And those relationships are precious and powerful. Now, my prayer for this body is and always will be that there is lots of koinonia happening throughout the week. We do this little 10-minute koinonia thing we do, which is fantastic. I'm glad we're doing it because we're learning how to pray for each other. You go to 1 Corinthians, and you go to 12, and you go to 14, and it's real clear. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. I want you to flow in spiritual gifts. I want you to know your spiritual gifts. And then he shows in chapter 14 how those gifts are. We're one body with many parts. No part's more important than the other part. We all have a role to play. And you're going, well, I'm used to sitting in the pew or chair or whatever it is. And the pastor does this and that. The elders do this. Look, there's no such thing as that. The pastors and elders are here to serve you so that you can do your ministry. Does that make sense? You're what's in charge here through the power of the Spirit. So if something comes up where you're thinking, I wonder if I can do that. Yes, let's talk. Because yes, you can. And when we have this koinonia time and you reach out to somebody and you start praying for their situation, can you feel the Spirit moving? Aren't you glad you did that instead of just sat in a chair and were a spectator? You're a participant. Amen? So I've said this over and over, and I'll keep saying it because that's who we are. We're the body of Christ. So live it out, man. And like I always say at the end, go play. Because the greatest joy for a true Christian is to serve, is to do the will of God, is to give and flow and flow. And that's where your joy comes from. I'm going to put a sign, I really am, above the door. Go play. You know, a lot of people have the sign like, you're now entering the mission field. You know, that's kind of a good reminder. But then it sounds a little bit intimidating. You know, with a mission field, I got to do this. Now God tells you, go play as the Holy Spirit moves in you and through you. It should be fun. All of a sudden, you're praying for that girl down at the dollar store. How did that happen? Because you're playing. You're enjoying life. And I got to pray for the girl at the dollar store. Kelly, cutie pie, red hair, just the funnest little girl. And I was looking for something. She left her, her checkout, register. Takes me all the way to the backest, farthest corner. And I'm like, oh, they're fine. And she finds this thing I need, and we come all the way back to the front. And I thought, well, that's a servant's heart. What a sweet girl, you know. So I was sharing Christ with her, and hopefully something good happens. The other day I'm driving down there by, where Anytime Fitness is? Way down there. And so I'm going in Anytime Fitness, and this guy pulls in right after I do, following me. And he's driving this old 72 Nissan pickup. Remember those? I had one in college. And so I stop and I flag him like this. He's like, and he drives next to me. I go, that's a 72 Nissan. He goes, you know it. I said, this is the coolest old truck. I love this thing. And we got to talking. So then I show up at 24 hour. He pulls in right next to me. And we're the only two people there. You know, you have to have your own key to get in there. I was down there to talk to the owner. And we got to talking. And he's the pastor of Faith Baptist in Elkton. And cool guy, really nice. And we got to talking. And he introduced me to his 14-year-old daughter, Rachel. And real sweet girl, braces. So cute. I love that look. And just open. What a great spirit. So we prayed, man. We prayed for each other's church. We prayed for Sutherland. We prayed for the county. We prayed for the state and the nation and the election coming up. We're standing there outside. It's a million degrees yesterday, and we're having a great time fellowshipping out in front. And he goes, I got the key. Why don't we go inside? And it's all air conditioned. And we had a great time. How did that happen? Because I'm walking in the Lord and having fun. So I'm always sharing with people Christ. I hope you do the same thing, because you never know who you're going to run into. It's important, man. The more I get a chance to pray for somebody, the more encouraged I am. It's a real selfish motivation. I'm like, I need that. I need the Spirit to work through me. You've heard of the Dead Sea. You know, right above the Dead Sea is the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee connects to the Jordan River. And water's coming into the Sea of Galilee. And it's teeming with life. And there's all kinds of stuff going on. And then it comes down the Jordan River and empties into the Dead Sea. This is not that far, if you remember your maps. And the Dead Sea is dead. Completely dead. It's getting the same exact water as the Sea of Galilee, which is teeming with life. The Dead Sea is as dead. Have anybody ever been there? You've been there? Did you drink it? Did you float in it? Oh, you did. You took your bathing suit, or you just like skivvies? The whole thing. You went, I want, because you can't sink. I can't float. In a normal pool, I can't float. My wife's tried to teach me like that. Man, I can't wait to float vertically, but that's when the Lord comes and gets me. But that's pretty cool. So the reason the Dead Sea is dead is because it has no outlet. It takes in, the Sea of Galilee takes in, full of life, gives out. We take in, thank you, Lord, we give out. You keep taking in, and without giving out, you're going to dry up and you're going to die. And that's the Sea of Galilee. I mean, the Dead Sea, because it has no outlet. And it just fills up, and it develops minerals, and it evaporates, but leaves more minerals. That's why all the salt and all that is there, because it's not given out. Christian, you're exactly the same. God gave us a very physical illustration of our walk with Him. He's called us to take in and give out. Once you stop giving out, you begin to calcify. You begin to get hard-hearted. You begin to pull away and isolate. You begin to not have the joy of the Lord. You begin to gripe and complain. It's not good. When you isolate, it'll kill you. Shawnee? Constipation. Don't tell me you don't know what that is. And when that happens, you need, Lord, I need to give out. I was taken in all Thanksgiving. Now it's time for the opposite. That's not appropriate in church, Shawnee. This is not her fault. Her husband raised her that way. Oh, I'm supposed to focus. That's funny. We're going to talk about something today that's really super important. I don't have enough time to do it all, but we're going to try. Look. I got to go through all this. Why? Because I don't want to miss this. I'm afraid if I just do it off the cuff, I'm going to miss this. Usually I prepare my sermon. Somebody asked me this. What do you do? Usually I prepare my sermon, right? It takes hours and hours and lots of prayer, and I come up with this much. And then I say, Lord, what do you want me to teach? And He goes, this much. And I'm like, ugh. So I what I do is I take and I write that on a 3x5 card, and I have points in my head. Then I toss the card, and then I deliver the sermon. You know, there's this much. I give this much. This one, there's this much, and I need to give it all. So I can't just put it on a card and memorize the bullets. What I'm going to be talking about is something that is so powerful. It's called the bait of Satan. The bait of Satan. This is, you get online, you can find John Bevedere, I can't even say his name, it's French, and he's been teaching this for over 20 years. It's a phenomenal deal. I have several books on this. I have a CD series on this. If you want to borrow it, please do. You're going to learn stuff about you, yourself, the body of Christ that you never learned before. This guy's the only guy I know that teaches this. Not that this isn't just commonplace, it's just that nobody takes the time to just slow down and look at this. But I'm going to look at something very important. Here's why. As I've come to this church and I have a different tone, a different style, a different way, some people might find me offensive, like I find Shawnee offensive. And it could make you go, you know, you just visit and you're like, I'm sitting next to the most offensive woman. And you guys get that worked out. And so you leave and are you going back there? Not on your life. Now that may not be going on. I'm just teasing. But the fact that I like to play and I like to mess around, that can be off-putting to some people. Like, that's not for church, right? I talk loose and fast, and sometimes I throw in some humor, and sometimes it's not appropriate. And I don't mean to be offensive. It's just the way it happens sometimes. If you find yourself offended, what does Scripture say to do? Anybody ever read their Bible? It's very clear in there. You're going to go one place with this. There's many places, but one major place. Where would you go to learn how to deal with a brother who is offended by you or has offended you? What? Give me some stuff. No, yeah. To him? Did you say to him? Great answer. That's the first place. Absolutely. I wouldn't even say that. That's fantastic. You go to the Lord. You talk to him. You may not have to go anywhere else. He deals with your heart. But Matthew 18 tells us exactly what to do. If a brother offends you, you go to him in private. You talk it out. If he hears you, you've won a friend. That's what Matthew says. If he doesn't, you punch him in the face and say, well, I tried. And no. If he doesn't, then what do? You go to another brother and you bring him with you and you both reason with this fella and try to come to an understanding. And if he hears you, you've patched the relationship and all goes well. If he doesn't, then that may need to escalate to the elders or to the, you know, before the church, especially if this brother we're talking about is in sin and you're trying to steer him away from a life of sin. You're trying to save him. It takes that. But it tells us exactly what to do. And why? Why does it? Because the most precious thing that we have is our unity. It says God gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastor teachers for the equipping of the saints for works of ministry, that we might minister one to another, come to unity in the faith and unity. And then, as we do that, we continue to grow and we become mature in Christ. Do you realize I can't become mature in Christ unless you're using your gifts? And you can't use your gifts unless we're stirring you up? So leadership is to not tell you what to do, it's to equip you to do what you do. That's the job of pastors and elders, to equip you to do what God designed you to do. Then you do that unto each other, whatever your gift might be. If your gift is painting the building, have at it. If your gift is telling somebody, who they are in Christ, go for it. If your gift is prayer, there's all kinds of gifts listed, 19 gifts listed, not meaning it's an exhaustive list, but there's a lot to choose from. You go, I see me doing that, I see. So we do that so we can build each other up so that we can come to unity. And he says, do not mess up the unity. That's not something you create, that's something that he creates. It's something that is. He calls us to unity. What breaks unity? Always, every time. You know what it is? Offense or perceived offense. You're either dealing with real offense or perceived offense. You think somebody said something offensive. You ever do that? What did you say? You know, it reminds me of a guy driving his car. He comes around a corner and somebody goes, pig! It's like, what a jerk. Comes around the corner and slams into a pig. Like, oh, that was a warning. He wasn't calling me names. You know, got to do a paradigm shift. Sometimes we get ourselves offended by something stupid. Two guys walk into a bar. Which is interesting because you think the second guy would duck. Did you think I was talking about a bar? What? You worldly Christians. Paradigm shift. You get it? I wasn't talking about a bar. You have to help Shawnee out with this stuff. This is what happens in our relationship with each other. We can become very quickly offended. Let me tell you something. Be careful. Because Satan loves that. He loves it. If he can get us offended, woo, he owns us. And the disciples were walking with Jesus for 3 years. They saw amazing things. They saw people raised from the dead. They saw blind eyes seeing. They saw withered hands regrown. They saw the lame walk again. They're watching all this. They're like, oh, this takes a lot of faith. They see people raised from the dead. Ooh, this takes a lot of faith. But they're in. They're walking. They're getting it. Okay, I got it. And then he said something to them, and their response is, but Lord, increase our faith. We could believe for all the other stuff, for people being raised from the dead. We could believe for a sight. But this one thing he said blew their mind. They go, but who can believe? Lord, increase our faith. You know what he had said to them? I'm going to show you. He says, let me find the right verse. Luke 17, 3 through 5, if you want to go there. You don't have to go there, but you can. You can open your Bible and look there, but you don't have to. But if you want to, I'll wait. Okay, go there. Luke 17, 3 through 5. This verse is so stunning because I've read it before, but I never saw this. He says this, Luke 17, 3 through 5. Watch yourselves, talking to the disciples, watch yourself. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Even if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times returns to say, I repent, you must forgive him. What? 7 times 70 is what, you know, Peter says, I must do it 7 times. And Jesus says to Peter, no, 7 times 70. Like, you never stop forgiving people. But this guy is so offensive, 7 times in a day, and the Lord says, forgive him. And he keeps saying, oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Poke you in the eye. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Poke you in the eye. Like, dude, quit poking me in the eye. And he does it 5 more times. And asks forgiveness. I'm sorry, can you forgive me? Yeah, we don't like that, do we? You know, the first time it was an accident maybe. The second time it's like, dude, you're messing with me. Third time, I'm going to poke you in the eye. I mean, that's just the way we do it. But not in this. And the apostles respond in verse 5, Lord, increase our faith. I can't do that. If somebody offends me and offends me and offends me, I'm going to punch him out. I'm not forgiving him 7 times in one day. Increase our faith. None of those other miracles shook him. This one shook him. That statement, what he's doing here, is more applicable in our day and age than it was even back then. We're living in a world of professional offended people. The more you can be offended, the higher your cred goes. And now you've got a, you know, they'll interview you on CNN if you're offended enough. So you got to be offended for this group and offended for that group and offended for that group. So we all got to walk around in a state of offense. This passage that I'm going to go through right now is more needed today than it's ever been needed. Don't get offended. You're the problem. If you're offended, now follow this. If you're offended, you've got a sin problem. Does that sound weird? Think about it. That's upside down. If you're offended, doesn't matter, poke, 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 you're offended, you got a sin problem. Now, I'm gonna help you with this. Doesn't sound right, but that's exactly what the Lord is saying. Be careful. Be careful of offense. Offense is bait that Satan puts out there. Don't fall for it. Don't take the bait, or you will be stuck in a trap, and he will own you. That's what Scripture says. So, Jesus told them what was coming. You know, in Matthew 24, he tells them this is going to be happening, wars and rumors of war and this and that, and men will be offended. There's going to be lots of offense. He saw that coming. Now, he tells them that's going to be the season. He never tells us the time or the day, but he tells us the season. The season that he was telling them about in Matthew 24 is this day, right now, where people call good bad and bad good, and where we get all upside down. They call men women and women men. Now, that offends me. But that's on a different level. That's righteous indignation, where you go, no, that's a lie. That is a lie. It offends the nature of God. However, I'm not going to be offended by the individual. The individual needs love. The individual needs tenderness. I mean, people are blind. We're in a time where blindness prevails. You ever try to talk to somebody who's caught in a certain paradigm and you can't get them free? Don't waste your breath. Love them. Move on. You know when that's happening. You're talking to somebody, all of a sudden you hit a brick wall. You're not getting through it. You can't argue your way through it. You can't rationalize. You can't reason through that. That is the blindness, because the spirit of this age is rampant. Don't get offended. A lot of stuff they say is offensive. A lot of stuff today is offensive. It is. It offends your Christian sensibilities. It offends the nature of God. It offends all that. But to be offended, to break relationship, to cut off relationship because of it, that's sin. Be careful. And this happens at Christmas, at Thanksgiving, when the whole family's together and you got the liberals on one side and the conservatives on the other. Don't be offended. You're going to ruin the whole meal and the whole time, and you're going to break your family up. Stupid. That's Satan. That can't be you. Oh, you're so righteous and holy. And you broke the family up, or you had to leave the meal, or somebody got mad. That's not Jesus, man. I don't care how right you are. And you may be holy and righteous, but you're not righteous. Not to break relationship, a sacred covenant with others because of a misunderstanding. Not even a misunderstanding, a clear difference in opinion. You're offended, end of story. Jesus says, don't do that. But Lord, who can do it? He says, with man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. We're talking about Christians who are full of the Spirit and walk in that relationship. You, don't be offended. Does that sound hard? Yeah. I'll bet the majority of us sitting right here are offended about something right now. Someone, something that happened at work, someone who said this. It's gonna eat you up. I want to look at Matthew 24, and I really want to focus on verse 10, but I want to start all the way at verse 4. So if you go to Matthew 24, when you think of Matthew 24, what comes to mind? First thing, Matthew 24. Right. He's talking about the last days, the end of time. They're on the Mount of Olives. They're looking across, and there's the temple. There's Jerusalem. There's the temple. And they say, look, Lord, what a glorious temple. Isn't it beautiful as the sun glistens off? Oh, isn't it magnificent? And he says, you know, I'll tell you one thing. There's going to come a day when not a stone will be on top of it. It's going to be destroyed. And that day is coming soon. And here's what it's going to look like. And here's what he says. This is verse 4. And Jesus answered them, and he said to them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Sound familiar? Wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. It says diverse places if you're reading this. So in the ocean, a swimming pool, where are you talking? Diverse places, many kinds of places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up, you Christians, to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Here's what he's saying. It's all going to be dark. It's all going to be nasty. It's all going to be dangerous. And then the real pinnacle, the peak, right before the Lord comes, the worst thing that happens, here it is. We're all going to be offended at each other. That's what he says. And then will come offenses. What? He's not talking about be offended at the things I just read. He's talking about you're going to walk in a conscious and ready state of offense. Don't do it. And now watch this. You're not going to believe this. He says, and then shall many be offended. And they shall betray one another. Who? Who's going to betray who? The offended will betray the other believers in the church. The offended will betray the others. And if it's not corrected, if it's not taken care of, they shall hate one another. Offense, betrayal, hatred. It isn't offense, hatred, betrayal. It's offense, betrayal. That's the cutting off of a sacred relationship for the sake of your personal offense or your personal agenda. Listen, folks, this is happening all over the place. This is what the world is consisting of right now. Don't let it happen here, not at the Way. Not at the Way. Don't let this happen. If you see it happening, go to your brother or sister and say, whoa, what are you doing? That's not the way of the Lord. We're not to be offended. Well, she said this. Or, I mean, I've had bad things happen in my life. I mean, people really betray me, stab me in the back, steal stuff, hurt me, hurt my family. And guess what? I'm okay. I came through it. There were times where I was so offended. But he says, be careful. Don't let a root of bitterness grow up because it'll defile you and everybody around you. Are you still holding on to pain, hurt, offense because somebody did this? And again, I'm not talking about the imagined ones. We're just talking about the real ones where you really have been hurt. You really have been abused. You really have been, that hurts. He's saying, I get it. I know. But greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. And he says, I want you to have peace. I want you to walk in your identity. Not this other thing. This other thing is the bait of Satan. Watch this. We're running out of time fast, so I got to fly. He says, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. That word many is the word polis or polis in the Greek. It means a high number. It actually means the majority, 51% or more. Not 49%, 51%. When he's saying this, he's saying here in this body, over half of us are offended. He said that's what's going to happen. Be careful. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Offense leads to betrayal. If it's not dealt with, it will lead to hatred. Where do you get that? Well, look at Proverbs 18:19. Proverbs 18:19 says, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. Solomon wrote that. What was a strong city in Solomon's day? A city that had strong walls. A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. Walls. What were they built for? Walls were built for protection, to keep out dangerous things, things that were harmful and hurtful, and or to keep in things that we want in there, but walls. And this is exactly what happens when we're offended. We begin to build walls to protect ourselves from hurt. We begin to build walls. When you're offended, you'll build walls. In the New Testament, what does he call walls? Strongholds. Strongholds. Where have you heard strongholds? The enemy. Strongholds. If you're offended, you will build walls, strongholds, and the enemy loves that. That's exactly what he wants. Now look at 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, and remember, we're in a battleground. We're not in a playground. We're in a battleground every single day. You're walking in the Spirit. You are an offense to the world around you. Just know that. We're in a battle. And he says,
The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments or imaginations or reasonings, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The whole thing here he's talking about is this warfare leads to a resistance to the knowledge of God, bringing. So we need to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Watch out for strongholds. Watch out for that. We're in a warfare. You get offended. You'll build strongholds. The enemy will use those things. Strongholds are also a set pattern of reasoning through which we process information. You're going to think a certain way now. Oh, he's an idiot. He's a jerk. I don't like him anymore. I don't want to be around him. You're building strongholds. You're building your case. You're building strongholds. She's no good. I can't be around those people. You're building strongholds. You're building a case, and that case is going to hurt you. We're told in the Word of God to love one another, and we see that as we're all, if you're loving another, you're giving, 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 giving. That's what you do. That's your character. That's the character of Christ in you. But the offended person, his reasoning process changes. He's now protect, protect, protect. Not give, give, give. Protect, protect, protect. Now instead of giving, he has to protect himself. And this happens in the soul. Now this person becomes a perfect candidate for betrayal. Once you build those walls, now betrayal. And listen to this. Betrayal. When I seek my protection or my benefit at the expense of one that I have a relationship with. Think about this. So you distance yourself from somebody, or you talk bad about them, or you put them down, or you resist them as a friend. What are you doing? You're building those walls. You're building those strongholds. Why? So you can bless yourself and you can protect yourself. That's demonic. It's demonic. Don't do that. You're trying to protect your heart. And you're right. And you are right. I'm saying we're not talking about the imagined offenses. We're talking about real offenses. When your focus is to protect, 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 that makes you a perfect candidate for betrayal. And a betrayal is the ultimate abandonment of a relationship. What happens in betrayal? The love of God in our hearts begins to grow cold. It seeps out of us. Why? The Dead Sea. The Dead Sea. You're taking in, but you're not giving out anymore. You're walled up. You're not loving. You're not giving. You've put a wall between you and the offended person who offends you. Are you hearing me? Do you see this pattern? We do it. So we get offended. We put up our strongholds. We wall up. We stop giving. We dry up. The enemy loves that. A lot of Christians don't even understand hatred, because this will lead to hatred. And hatred is not, I hate you, this venomous, emotional, brr. It isn't that. It's, Absalom says he hated his brother, therefore he spoke not ill nor good of his brother. What? That sounds so neutral. Yeah, he became neutral. He wasn't speaking ill. He wasn't tearing down. He wasn't building up. He just departed. You ever have friends that suddenly they just depart? Somebody you love, somebody you care for, you love, somebody who used to love you and now they've departed? What is that? That's demonic. That's betrayal. That's what betrayal is. Be careful. We can easily betray one another and not even know that we're doing it. I'm going to fast forward. We got to go here. Again, in Matthew, we were in Matthew just a minute ago. We're going to go back there. Matthew 24, verse 10. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, will hate one another. 11. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. What? Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Who's the many? The offended. You got this offense going on, which leads to betrayal and hatred, and then false prophets rise up, and they deceive the many. And because of that, lawlessness will abound. The love of many will grow cold. What's he talking about? He's saying that when you're offended, you become fertile ground for false prophets. you become fertile ground for the enemy to deceive you. It says, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Many, who's the many, the same many as before, which is the offended. If you're offended, you are a target. If you're offended, you are bait for Satan. Offended heart is a breeding ground for deception. Now, what does Jesus call false prophets in Matthew 7? He calls them wolves, right? Wolves in sheep clothing. He calls them wolves in sheep clothing. They look like Christians. Wolves in sheep clothing. It's funny that he calls them wolves in sheep's clothing, not wolves in shepherd's clothing. Wolves in sheep's. Meaning, it ain't the guy behind the pulpit that you need to be afraid of. It's the guy sitting next to you. It's common Christians. They become false prophets by saying things that are nasty, that are cruel, that are hurtful, that are divisive. That's the false prophets that he's talking about here. Not the guy preaching that could be wrong or right. You can spot that. But it's those sitting among you. That's who he's talking. He's warning you about that. What do they do? You ever watch Animal Planet? These predators come. They go after a herd of sheep. They chase them around. And what are they looking for? The weakest one. The wounded one. The offended one. And they carve him out of the body. And this is what happens. These offended people will go around the body and they'll find somebody else that they can get on their team. And they start, they're looking, they're finding who will join their little offense team. And they're trying to carve you out and kill you. And that's why I'm talking about this. We're a small body. We got some place to go and it's going to cost us. It's going to be hard work. And we're going to see some people leave because it's not their thing. And that's okay. But don't let somebody else's offense or uncomfortableness or whatever start chewing at you. We're going to grow a strong foundation, and we're not going to be backbiters, gossipers, offended people. If you find offense, go talk to that individual. If you don't, you'll move into betrayal, and you will move in to hatred, and the enemy will love you. And when on Animal Planet, you see them pull that one sheep out and they go after him. They isolate him. They isolate him and then they take him down and he comes tonight's dinner. Proverbs 18:1. Listen to this. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against everybody else, especially those with wise judgment. When you're in an offended state, you begin to isolate yourself and you become stupid. It just, it's funny because you start losing wisdom and discernment. When you're in an offended state, you go into betrayal and hatred, and you separate and isolate yourself against others. Isolation occurs in the soul. You can be in a full church with lots of friends, but it's in your soul. You can be part of a big church, and you can still isolate yourself. And Matthew 24:12 says, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Lawlessness means not submitting to the authority of God, not submitting to his word. Lawless thinking is a stronghold, thinking that's contrary to God's word. Lawlessness will abound. And there's a great lawlessness in our world today. And in the last days, there will be massive offense, betrayals, and hatred, and the love of many will grow cold. Now, I'm running out of time. I'm sorry, you guys. Can you hang with me a little bit more? I got to get through this. Because David said this, Psalm 55:12-14 said, it is not an enemy who taunts me. I could deal with that. It's not my foes who so arrogantly insult me. I could have dealt with that. Instead, it's you. It's you who's attacking me. My equal, my companion, my closest friend. What good fellowship we once enjoyed together as we walked together in the house of God. This is what offense does. Those people you sat with, you loved together, you did ministry together, you worshiped God together, it's you. You're coming against me. I could have taken it if it was my enemy. I get that. That's what David actually is saying. If it was an enemy, I'd get it. But it's you, my friend. I love you. How could this be? This is what Satan loves to do. He loves to attack that way. In Luke 17, 1, this is quite a statement. Jesus says, it is impossible that no offenses should come. It's impossible that no, the other way around, there's going to be lots of offenses. It's impossible that no offenses should come. If Jesus said it, it's probably impossible. What does that mean? You're going to be offended. If you breathe, if you walk on this earth, you're going to be offended. I was so offended. So was I. So is everybody. What are you whining about? That's the world we live in. Are you surprised that somebody offended you? Are you surprised that somebody's offended by you? This is the world we live in. He says, get over it. Move on. It's what you do with the offense that's going to affect your future. You can either become stronger and better, or you can become bitter. Better or bitter, your choice. Better or bitter, what are you going to do with offense? Pray for that person, move on. Offense has no place in the kingdom. Now, here's the key to this whole thing. The word offense is the word scandalon. Scandalon, have you heard of that? Get this. Any of you guys ever trap animals, you know, a bear or a wolf or trying to trap coyotes or something like that? You take that trap and you set it, and you put that bait right there in the center. And if the animal pushes on the plunger, snap, now you got him. And it's either going to wound him or catch him, but you got him. You put the bait on the scandalon. The scandalon catches him. The word for offense is scandalon. Offense will trap you. Get rid of it. You don't want to be offended. Offense will trap you. That's the whole point. That's why it's called the bait of Satan. Satan loves it. He wants you offended. And if he can get you offended, he can open that trap. He can put the bait on there and you'll be caught in the trap of Satan, hating, miserable, not giving out, drying up, and being dead. Scandalon, all here's out of the Complete Word Study Dictionary, says, scandalon always denotes an enticement to conduct which could ruin the person in question. Always. Offense is the bait of Satan into his trap and captivity. Hebrews says, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, that no bitter root grows up, because it will defile many. Offense is so dangerous. 2 Timothy 2:4, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, there you go, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents, offended people, must gently be instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. Offense is you being taken captive to do the will of Satan. Whoa! You can still be serving the Lord. You can still be running a Bible study. You can still be preaching the gospel. You can still be doing all that and yet walking around with offense in you. And all that joy and wonderful stuff you think you're giving out, it's polluted water. It's going to hurt people. Get rid of offense. If you have offense, get rid of it. You may not be able to work it out with whoever, but you can work it out with God. I'm done. It says, give them to God. Take them off your hook. Put them on God's hook. He knows how to deal with it. Now you're free. God will deal with it. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It's not yours. Don't think you got to fix stuff. You can't. You can be free. Go. God bless you. But they didn't repent. They didn't say, I'm sorry. Nothing got fixed. Yeah, well, you want to still be on a hook? You want to still be offended? You want to still be in Satan's trap? Go ahead. Demand righteousness. Demand that the scales are balanced. It's not going to happen. We live in a broken world and Satan is real. Don't fall for the bait of Satan, especially in these last days. Bait of Satan, scandalon, same word as offense. Are you getting it? You got it? You guys get it? That's it. Stop being offended. You can't just say that. Yeah, I can. Jesus says it just like that. Stop. How do you deal with offense? Stop. Well, I don't have the authority to do that. Yeah, you do. I've given you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. He can in no way harm you. Luke 10:19. You have authority. So how do I stop? I'm so offended and what they did was so wrong. Stop. It's easier to say than do. I know. But you got the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. Do it. Stop being offended. Quit. And if somebody says something or does something in this congregation that offends you, go work it out. How often should I do that? 7 times a day. There is no end. That's what we do. That's the mark of Christ. That's the mark of Christ. So you live with other people's weirdness. You live with other people's blindness, with other people's offensive nature. Yep. Why? Because I love them. That's why. I love Christ. He's going to work on them, not me. Amen? You got that message? Okay, we went over time. I really apologize because I try to be more brief, but could you stand with me? This is such a powerful message. I had to go through the whole thing. Let's pray. In fact,